Fill the thrill.
Bum, 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 bum. I am.
Put on the helmet. Dun, 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 dun.
I am.
Hail to.
Ready for this. You think it's gonna fit?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Oh, I think this is my size.
Oh, love it. Oh.
Oh, you.
You gotta wear the.
You are about to get ball hogged, bruh. You couldn't possibly hang.
I want to be like the old school coach.
It'll make me better. It'll make me better. How do I get better, coach? Get out of my drill. That's always a favorite. Okay, so for our listening audience, we have an authentic University of Toledo helmet that I am donning. This is a game use thing. You can see somebody went to the crown here. There's some nicks out of it.
That's pretty sick.
Yeah. Do you think it looks good on me?
Absolutely.
Do you think I can see clearly?
Speaking of the rain's gone? Absolutely.
Speaking of seeing clearly, the heart of the rivalry is brought to you by. What do you think it's brought to you by?
Renewal by Anderson?
It's right. This episode is brought to you by Renewal by Anderson, the window replacement experts backed by 120 years of quality and craftsmanship from consultation to installation. Renewal by Anderson makes upgrading your home easy, beautiful, and worry-free. It was out of my peripheral vision. I didn't have it locked in.
That's big time. Keep your head on a swivel.
The heart of the rivalry is, of course, hosted by Phil Kaplan, your intrepid helmet-wearing photographer. But the big shot is Dave Briggs, our Toledo Blades sports columnist, the resident expert of the four most important college football programs in the most important sport there is. Ohio State, Michigan, Toledo, and Bowling Green. I guess we should start with Toledo.
All right.
They took it to Kentucky. They took it to Kentucky again.
Even the numbers, you got a hat. I got a hat. We're good.
Didn't have to travel down to the Bluegrass State. They came to you. The Hilltoppers. Thought this was the Chip Trainum breakout game. What'd you think?
Yeah, he was awesome. I mean, Toledo, this was a matchup of top group of five teams. A lot of people thought both these would be contenders in that race, and Toledo just absolutely, in Kentucky fashion, you know, took them behind the shed. I mean, that was just wire-to-wire beatdown. I mean, I'm just trying to think of where to begin. There's nowhere to begin. Toledo dominated in every single area. The defense was lights out.
But yeah, I thought that was good.
The offensive passing game was great. Running game was great. And obviously very refreshing for Toledo fans to see the revived run game. Last year, Toledo couldn't run the ball to save their lives, and that just messes up everything. When Toledo's going, they've got the balance, the pass, or the run setting up the pass. Saturday was perfect balance. Chip Trainum, the Ohio State transfer, came from Kentucky. Just a Big Ten level of power and vision. We saw him just kind of an electrifying run around the left edge.
Untouched,
75 yards. He ran over, around, through them. He's just what the doctor ordered for the Rockets. Offensive line played well. 300 rushing yards for Toledo. One downside, because it might be a little bit of a Pyrrhic victory, word of the day for
it's your $5 journalism.
If Tucker Gleason is hurt, I guess we'll see. He kind of tweaked his knee with a defender rolling up on him. Toledo initially thought it was a dirty hit. Jason Candle was absolutely fuming, kind of screaming, that's BS. But upon further review, cooler heads prevailed. He said, yeah, it looked like a clean hit.
So if Tucker can't go, so we'll see. The Rockets go to?
John Allen Richter, he's a very little bit of a different style. Tucker gives you more of that dual threat, big-bodied guy. John Allen's kind of more of a traditional pro-style passer, but he's good. Offense didn't really skip a beat when he was in there, and it'll be interesting to see what he can do. I assume he will play this weekend against Morgan State of the FCS. You're going to want to give Tucker as much time off as you can to let that knee heal. Hopefully for Toledo's sake, it's just a strain. But, yeah, it'll be we'll see what John Allen can do, but I think it's a much better situation to break in a new quarterback than they would have been last year now that they have the run game and the offensive line playing a little better, and we've seen what the defense can do. So this was Toledo at its absolute best, kind of making a statement in a top G5 game after a disappointing opening weekend.
After we talked last week, you know, the dude was leading the NCAA and, you know, MacGyver that came in there and, you know, held him to under 250. He still threw for two touchdowns, but, you know, that's pretty good. You could have said, you know, Toledo might win this game scoring 45 and the Hilltoppers might get near 40.
Yeah.
But so
they almost all those yards were garbage time yards. They were up 45-7. I think the yardage differential was something like 500 to 200 at that point. So this was a wire to wire ass kicking.
It was cool to see Chip Traynham get out there and dust him. I was gonna turn this to the Cleveland Browns.
Oh boy.
But cooler heads can prevail. We'll skirt that and we'll just go straight to Bowling Green.
All right.
What's up with the instead of the dog pound, they got the cat club. PETA's questioning, the cat's disposition. I believe if PETA gets involved, what they should be arguing for is that a regional peregrine falcon swoop down onto the field and prey upon the cat.
Yeah.
That would be the natural order. If you were a PETA sympathizer, you would say, "Well, this is the animal rights win here." What do we think of Pudge the cat taking the nation by storm?
Yeah, you guys probably
talk about Bowling Green.
Yeah.
I gotta take the
UT helmet
off.
We'll wait.
Speaking of MacGyver, how's my MacGyver like hair?
Oh, that's good. If anyone wants to donate a BG, actually, there's a Browns helmet on the wall, and they got their.
That's half a Browns helmet, and I believe it's signed by Phil Dawson.
Oh, perfect. All right. Everybody knows Velva or Pudge the cat.
And
you're
Phil
our,
Dawson.
You're our resident cat expert.
I am. I will take that.
Kind of a cool story. Bowling Green loves to, as any school loves to get the news any way possible. This is kind of a feel-good story. Pudge the cat becoming a morale booster and living in the locker room or living with one of the players and just kind of making his locker room his home away from home. But the PETA stuff was interesting. Please leave Pudge the cat at home during the games. That may be true, but this gives PETA a bad name in the sense that PETA has a lot of great causes. Like when you start going down this rabbit hole, or when you start, you got to pick your battles a little bit. When you start doing this, it kind of diminishes the weight of the real battles they're fighting. So and maybe they would have a case if if Toledo, in the spirit of some rivalry pettiness, decides to have a dog on the sideline for morale and brings that dog to Bowling Green to scare the cat, or maybe the cat will scare the dog, depending on which way. But that would be the perfect answer to Toledo not letting Bowling Green's band on the field last year. Bowling Green answering with the billboard. Big orange Bowling Green come see Falcons football billboard right next to UT's campus. The only reasonable answer is for UT to get a service or, what do they call it?
Service dog?
Yeah, but for
well, you could go the other...
For morale.
You could go the other route. You could go find, the natural predator for Eddie George.
Yeah,
which would be Ray Lewis.
Linebacker. Yeah, that's true. Good
right.
point. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, you could bring. I don't know how Ray Lewis and Toledo's connections are these days.
Yeah, you can. I like it.
Back on the field, with their cat in tow, they went down to Cincinnati and lost to the Bearcats. Did you watch that, Dave? Did you see it?
I did not see any of the game, but they covered. I think they've now covered 10 of their last 11 games against Power 4 opponents. So Eddie George getting it done. No, but in all seriousness, that's about what you would expect. They go down to Cincinnati. It's not super close, but they were competitive with 50 new players. You had no idea what to expect.
Yeah.
Drew Pine seemed to look solid. Big game this week against Liberty. Talking about G5, that's a top.
Liberty can
top
swing
G5
it.
G5 team. Give me Liberty or give me BG. I'll probably go BG.
I'll take this up.
But, I just got back from Bowling Green and was asking Eddie George. They have as brutal of a first half of the schedule as you could get. After the Lafayette game, they go to Cincinnati, the Big 12, host Liberty, always a top G5 team, go to Louisville, again, ACC, and then you open your MAC schedule at Ohio, which
tough.
Just beat West Virginia,
yeah.
And looks really good again,
yep.
Reigning MAC champions, and home against Toledo. So that's very possibly five straight losses. Now Bowling Green could rise up and certainly win one of those games. I would probably expect them to, but that's as brutal of a start as you could have. You could play fairly well and still start 1-5 before the schedule eases up a little bit. And I asked Eddie, before I asked him his favorite Waffle House order, that's another story.
Nice.
You're
asking the good question.
When you first saw that schedule, were you kind of like, oh man, or bring it on? And he's more of like, you know, bring it on. Like, let's see what our team's made of. We're taking it one week at a time. So he gave the right answer. I was just curious because that's as difficult of a start as you can get.
Realistically, if he goes through that stretch and gets two of them,
oh, that'd be good.
You're feeling
right,
great.
Right. As long as you just compete in the other games, go 2-4, that would be, because there's a lot of wins on that back half of the schedule. If you go 2-4, I would predict them to at least get to 6.
There's a lot of goodwill toward that program.
Yeah.
So even, like you say, even if he's just sort of competitive, people are like, all right, Eddie.
Right.
Yeah. What is his Waffle House order? Are we saving that for the column?
We'll save it for the column.
I like it.
But he asked me mine, and I was off the top, and I was trying to think. So there's not, I said, like, well, I don't go there much. There's not as many Waffle Houses in the South. But then I thought, you know what? There probably are actually as many Waffle Houses up here as there are in the South. And you know, great stat, Bowling Green by the Sickos Committee, which kind of looks at the lighter side of college football a little bit.
As does HOTR.
Yeah, Bowling Green, or Dwight Perry Stadium, is the closest of the 136 FBS stadiums to a Waffle House.
Oh.
In Division I. Not Mississippi State or Alabama.
You have buried the
lead. Waffle House.
You have buried the lead.
The core of the Waffle House constituency. But anyway, I was just kind of asking, because, you know, we think of Eddie George, he's a celebrity. I mean, he lives in the Heisman house, Phil. superstar, married to a pop star from the 90s, sisters with voices. I guess you would expect a celebrity to live a certain lifestyle. You know where he lived his first 3 months at Bowling Green? Just to kind of illustrate that he's going 24-7, kind of just grinding an old school football
soldier. There's no way he lived in the Waffle House. There's no way.
He lived next door to the Waffle House, though.
I love it.
He lived his first 3 months in the Best Western, right across the street from, and I asked him what it was like to live in the Best Western. He kind of smiled. He's like, well, you know, it was kind of like living for 3 months in the Best Western. But he loved the waffles at Best Western. And, you know, he's just, he says, you know, it doesn't care. I just need my room 68 degrees, comfortable bed. And they've got a great breakfast. And we tell our team all the time, it's not about, you know, it's about the work you put in. It's not about everything around you. So
you're passing through BG,
right.
Family in tow.
Yeah.
You've stopped at the Best Western.
Yeah.
You're taking advantage of the continental breakfast.
Absolutely.
The next morning. Imagine looking up and seeing Eddie George using the last of the syrup. What are you going to do?
But yeah.
That is amazing. I love that. Speaking of other stuff that we love, that is you know, football adjacent, Grambling State, I understand they visited the Buckeyes for the thrill of losing 70-0, but they brought their band and it was Alumni Band Day. So if you love that pageantry part of college football, and then you think about the people after the game hanging out in the Columbus area, and you've got an octogenarian tuba player and a young bass drum player from Grambling State talking at a bar after the game, I just like to imagine that happening, regardless of the 70-0 score. Again, my expert, Dean Kaplan, he said the band was the day, basically.
Yeah,
first half, but 80 players played, so that's also good for the Buckeyes.
Very cool. Yeah, not much you can read into a game like that. And I think we talked last week about their coach kind of said, or I don't think we did. Their coach was like, you know, we're coming up to Columbus to compete. And by that, I mean our band is coming up to compete. We all know what's going to happen on the field. And I thought it was interesting, like in the skull session, they weren't talking about the game. At the pep rally, Ryan Day was just like, oh, we know they have a great band, but we have the best damn band in the land, and let's show them.
I love it.
Like, as if that, so yeah, not really. That's really all she wrote. Julian Sain looked great. I think he completed, 95% of his passes?
Well, and a record, second
record in terms of efficiency.
But the 87-yard pass is the second longest in the show.
I don't personally love these games, but it is cool when you do have something on the side like that with one of the best bands in Grambling. We all know what the some of those HBCU bands are like. I mean, they're awesome.
Yeah.
And kind of a little bit of a different style than the old-fashioned military precision.
That's like, what I was saying,
Ohio
that
State.
Contrast.
So they kind of give the juice and the energy and just as precise, just in a different way.
Yeah.
It would have been cool if they had performed together. I don't think they did. By the way, the best thing to come out of Saturday's game, Ross Bjork's idiotic experiment by playing the Ohio, trying to redo all these years of Ohio State tradition. The experiment playing Ohio's, the band Ohio's, or I guess the song Ohio by Camp between the
I
third
know.
And fourth quarter, that lasted 1 week. They
I
went
know.
Back to playing Hang On Slowly
yeah,
last week. So,
because that other song, it doesn't have any roots.
Right.
The other
right.
thing has roots.
You can't force, traditions have to come naturally. You can't just before this game send out a press release saying, we're evolving the tradition. Here they are.
Speaking of traditions forming naturally, what about Bo Jackson Jr. Putting up 100 yards in garbage time? Did you see any of that?
I did not, but that's awesome.
Yeah, man. It's one of those things that's like...
Or I was not watching the end of the game, I should say.
I understand that, but, you know, and I didn't watch the whole thing either, but looking in some highlight packages and looking at the stats, I saw, you know, it's Grambling State, it's garbage time,
yeah.
but you know, his name's Bo Jackson.
Yeah.
That's a lot to live up to.
It's kind of like Barry Sanders' son on Toledo's football team.
That is correct. That is correct. Some big juniors out there. So, last but not least, the Michigan Wolverines traveled to Oklahoma for the right to be, I don't know, embarrassed is the right word.
Nah,
they never seemed like they were going to win that game.
But never truly in the game.
They were never going to win that game.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. It's kind of exactly what we expected. I mean, if what we saw from, look at what we saw from Arch Manning, and he's a 21-year-old. This was the same situation, first road game against a real defense, except Bryce Underwood is 18, just turned 18 last month, and Michigan has less pieces around their quarterback than Texas does, certainly. So this is about what you would expect, 9 of 24.
He had some 18-year-old moments.
Yeah, he also had some moments where he showed you his potential. I mean,
So did Bo Jackson. Sorry,
But yeah, I don't really know what to make of it. This is kind of what you expect. I mean, Michigan is steadily building a really good roster around them. They're not quite there yet. They're killing it in recruiting. So once just give it a little time, get some receivers around them. Offensive line was a little disappointing as well for Michigan. So got to get that steeled too, and then. Maybe open up the playbook a little bit. I saw a lot of Michigan fans were disappointed that they were calling a very conservative game plan. Like, I don't really know what you can expect. Like, Bryce Underwood's 18 going against a very confusing defense by one of the top defensive minds in the country,
yeah.
Venables. The offensive line's not giving him time. He don't have a ton of speed and real playmakers on the edge. Like, it's great for us as fans to say, open it up, throw it downfield, but... it's not really how it works when you don't have the tools to do that. So I mean, again, just kind of par for the course. I mean, Michigan is fine. They're probably a 9-3, 8-4 team this year, and I don't know what we expected.
Players make plays, so that stuff does count. Their defense was like okay, but Mateer just made some
awesome.
Exceptional
yeah.
plays that was the
right.
clear difference in the game.
Yeah, and Michigan could have gone that route. They could have gone out and spent a lot of money on a veteran quarterback and gone to the portal, but they're clearly kind of playing the long game here with Bryce Underwood and going to ride this out. So the one thing I did find was interesting was Dave Portnoy, the Barstool guy who helped bring...
Oh, who's that?
Who helped bring... the Michigan super booster who helped bring Bryce Underwood to campus, kind of helped convince...
Hey, I thought super booster
super
was a
booster.
Fair
superlative
or
descriptor. Who helped bring, helped convince Larry Ellison, the second richest man in the world, to pony up the more than $10 million to help seal the deal, or part of that money to help seal the deal to get Bryce Underwood to flip his commitment from LSU to Michigan. During the game, like he said, like he basically said, like, I'm calling... they don't throw the ball downfield like I'm calling Larry Ellison's wife, who's the Michigan fan in the family, who convinced Larry to donate all this money to get him, and saying, like, Sharon is gone if they don't open it up. So that's kind of the stuff you're dealing with in the NIL era, and I guess it's all part of the fun, Phil.
You know, it's not a finance show, but I did read recently that if you were to count to a million, it would take you 11 days. But if you were to count to a billion, it would take you 33 years. So when you think of somebody who's a, you know, billionaire upon billionaire, $10 million is your couch money.
Yeah.
You know, so I don't think Larry's hurting for it. I wonder, and I know he got it sort of under inauspicious circumstances, but the team does, in a positive way, feel like Sharon Moore's team.
Yeah.
Do you get that vibe? Like, he came out, he's pretty fired up for that game.
Oh, for sure, yeah. I mean, and this is, you went to Oklahoma, obviously.
Yeah.
It's his alma mater, good offensive lineman there. And, yeah, I mean, it was kind of a seamless transition in terms of the identity. Michigan wants to be a ground and pound team. He was the offensive line coach. He was a big reason for Michigan's success in the final Harbaugh years, and we've kind of seen that toughness carry over. They just need more pieces, and Bryce Underwood needs more experience.
He's Dave Briggs. I'm Phil Kaplan. This is the Heart of the Rivalry. When we come back, we're going to preview next week's matchups. Bum, bum, bum. Dash is the appropriate publishable term now that we're back to Heart of the Rivalry, which is brought to you today by Renewal by Anderson. Ready to transform your home? With Renewal by Anderson, buy one window or door and get another 40% off, but only through the end of the year. Schedule your free consultation today at renewalbyanderson.com. We are barreling through week three. We're going to do a bit of an abbreviated preview. OU going to Ohio State for a night game should be a fun environment. Like to see the MAC be more competitive than Grambling State.
15-year anniversary of OU's mascot Rufus attacking Brutus the Buckeye.
A special moment in our favorite sport.
A great moment. OU's really good. They played Rutgers well week one. They beat West Virginia week two at home. Seemed like a special moment down there in Athens. But Ohio State's rolling. I don't expect the 34.5 spread to be too much of an issue. So, especially coming off, Ohio's coming off that win. Are they really going to be able to get up for a third straight power conference game? I mean, Ohio State should be on a, 50-7? That too conservative?
I'm going to go 52-24.
Oh,
and with some garbage time touchdowns.
Okay,
That's what I'm laying out there. Speaking of the MAC traveling to the Big Ten, the Chippewas are going to the Big House.
Yeah. Will Connor Stallions be on the Central?
That's what I was hoping you were going to ask. But even if he was, how would we know? Isn't that the rule of the ninja? I mean, he could be in this room right now.
Yeah. So begins Sharon Moore's suspension. Probably wishes he'd been suspended for the Michigan game last week. But he'll be out for the next two games as part of the sign-stealing shenanigans. What do you want, a prediction, Phil? I mean, it's going to be another, 38-7.
I love these. Everybody loves a prediction that has no consequences.
Right, yeah, for sure.
I mean, I'm going to take the Chippewas in a tie.
Okay.
No, I'm just kidding. If you're a Michigan fan, you look for more development from Bryce Underwood. And you hope you hope that it's not a close game.
Right. For whatever reason. Against New Mexico, so.
He'll
probably look good, yeah.
And then Toledo?
Home against Morgan State of the FCS.
The Morgan States? They're the Morgan State.
Oh, that's a good question.
Seawolves? Here, we'll edit it out.
Yeah.
We'll look it up on your phone. We'll find it. I always love a good deep cut college mascot.
Yeah.
They're probably just going to be like the Bobcats.
The Bears.
Something crazy, though. The Bears?
Yeah.
Morgan State Bears?
The Morgan State Bears.
Not even like the Marauding Bears? Let me see the logo. Okay. Where is Morgan State? Where is Morgan State?
Oh, no, it's still...
You don't even... Well,
I know. I know where it is. I'm just trying to...
Maine or Montana?
No.
Dakota.
No,
one of the Dakotas.
South.
East Virginia.
I'm drawing a blank. Oh, yeah, Baltimore, of course.
Oh, okay, so they're in Maryland.
Yeah.
Which is East Virginia, so I was right.
There you go.
Okay. Okay, the
Morgan State Bears, yeah.
haunted Morgan State Bears straight out of Baltimore. What are they bringing to the glass bowl?
Bringing a mid-tier FCS team. Toledo should cruise.
60s?
They very well could. I mean, it just depends on look, they're up 45-7 on a good fellow FBS team. So if they show up, should be a good day for the Rockets.
70-0 might be the leader in the clubhouse for the biggest blowout of the year for our teams. I'm not sure if anybody's going to get close to that, but Morgan State, you have a chance. and we touched on it just briefly earlier, but Bowling Green, a real challenge. It would be great if they got a win, but you just hope that they play well.
I think they're touchdown underdogs. Liberty's not as good as they usually are. This is certainly a winnable game. Again, I just don't know much about Bowling Green. It seems like they have a good quarterback. They certainly have kind of competence on both sides of
they
the ball.
They have a cat.
Yep. And it's not a black cat, so it's
what do you think about those like pug-faced kind of cats?
Well,
Scottish folds. That's the big
reason. Wasn't that part of the issue with Pina? Yeah. Like that kind of cat is it makes it hard to breathe.
I think that's profiling.
You can't assume
the emotional disposition of an animal.
Right.
I have a border collie, and he's a very adventurous, courageous.
Yeah, how do they get along with the
courageous dog? But he hates crowds.
Okay.
He determines that. I can see that.
Okay.
And you can see in the eyes of Pudge the Cat that he's ready for the comp, man.
Yeah, for sure.
He's ready for the competition.
Right.
He also has a warrior protecting him.
Right.
And all these
devotees.
He's got a vet. He's got devotees coming around fawning over him. I think if anything,
that's woke America, Phil.
PETA's got to show up with a fruit basket, apologizing.
I agree.
To Pudge the Cat.
Pudge doesn't want to be dragged into this. He just wants to be part of the team. He's part of a feel good story.
He is part of a feel good story.
That's what
college football is for.
I appreciate the Bowling Green politely told them to shove it, but politely. So
that's good diplomacy right there. Speaking of diplomacy, he's Dave Briggs. I'm Phil Kaplan. This has been The Heart of the Rivalry, the most diplomatic show in college football. We'll see you next week. Maybe I'll bring my dog and two cats I can get a release.
Let's do it.
You want to put this guy on? Fire it up, man.
Right.
Get in there. Briggs, you played basketball.
You got to get a picture of me so I can send it to Coach. What the fuck?